Welcome to the One Speed MMA Podcast with yours truly, Justin Smith and
Carson Wood.
Hey, Carson, let's hope we can hear you this time.
Yeah.
I turned you up a little bit. Oh, we definitely heard that right there.
Yeah, peaked the hell out of that.
No, it actually didn't peak. We're doing all right.
I'll try harder next time I yell.
We're doing all right. So, what's new, man? What's going on?
Nothing. Just came over here, left a dog possibly out in the rain.
You're a terrible person.
Yes, but to be fair.
It's a terrible dog.
No, he's great. He was going to be put in the room, and so I figured that was better than in, or going outside was better than inside, and it was beautiful when I left.
It's been...
We played some fetch really quick, like I threw some stuff with
it. Does he actually bring the dog back and leave, or the ball back and leave it and let you throw it again?
Occasionally. He usually doesn't drop it.
So you have to take it and then throw it, and then he'll run.
Yeah.
You should teach him drop it and then...
Yeah, we've been trying for months. Now. Thanks for the
I'm no dog trainer. I'm thinking about picking it up, starting a YouTube channel now that I've got a dog to.
So this is what we dog did. Train.
Let's just put this out there. I have no experience with dog training, but you should pay me $9.99 a month for my YouTube channel. Subscribe. No, did you see any fights this weekend?
No. I have been catching up on Tough though. Which I've been meaning to do.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts? I know that we've touched on it, but what do you, I know that last time we talked about it, you hadn't seen a lot of what was going on.
I hadn't seen any of it last time we talked.
Oh, okay.
Literally nothing. I've watched in like 2 days, I watched the last 5 episodes.
So sum up what you've seen and what you think about what you've seen.
So one, I really like Claudia. I have crushes on her now, which you told me about, and I was like, nah, man. But now it's a thing. Did I kick something?
Nope.
Now it's a thing that's also that I, yeah. And Joanna is like, and I think you said this, is pretty much flashes of Ronda, like when she was like crazy, like demands respect but doesn't give it and freaks out for no reason at all, or tries to pick fights with Claudia, like when she cornered her and like just started like backing her up into her room for no good reason.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I did like the two guys fighting each other from the same gym.
Khalil. I really like him, but he's too nice. Not like too nice as a person. Like, I think he's a spectacular person. He's a really cool. It seems like he's a really nice dude. Great positive attitude. Pulls a lot of the other fighters to like come hang out with him. But when he was in the ring, it seemed like he was sparring, and the other kid actually wanted to win.
No, they both got big bombs off on it, and the other guy ended up bleeding. Like, I think he got a cut under his eye, if I remember right. I personally don't think that. I think it just went the way that it was. I think it was more of a maybe respecting too much. Not that it was too nice. He was respecting the game that he knew the other guy had too much, if that makes sense.
Do you think, out of the training that you've had, do you think that there's a different, like if you spar with someone and then you fight them full on, do you think that you know ahead of time who's going to win?
No. Mm-mm. I think you have a pretty good idea, but no, I wouldn't say you know, no.
Because like Chael Sonnen was like, he always mentions when you fight someone in the gym, there's people that you wouldn't want to fight in real life. And who was it? I think it was Ortiz and Rampage. That's what he was discussing. He was like, when it comes to Ortiz and Rampage Jackson, they actually know each other. And he's like, Rampage will come out and verbalize that Ortiz has his number. He's like, they're friends. He doesn't want to fight him. They were supposed to fight when he first went over to Bellator. And he said no. And he was like, I don't want to do it because Ortiz has, you know, I don't know what it is, if it's psychological or physical or whatever it is, but Ortiz has my number and I don't want to fight him because I don't think I can. I don't think he ever said, I don't think I can beat him. But that's basically kind of what they got to.
A calculated move.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I...
Well, based on years and years of training with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I think that obviously you, like I was saying, you do have a pretty good idea, but it's never a foregone conclusion. Like, John Jones isn't going to throw the same stuff that he's going to throw in practice typically.
Well, like he'll Jordan...
go hard, but he's not going to do all those spinning back elbows.
Yeah. Do you remember Jordan talking about training with Jose Aldo?
Mm-hmm.
So what he basically mentioned was Jose Aldo, he never saw Jose Aldo go 100% in the gym. And so everyone was always like, I mean, he's good, but how good is he really? We've never really seen him go 100%. And then when he would start fighting, his killer instinct would kick in and he just dominated everybody for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a lot to do with the gym, unless you only you can only go one speed. Like I'm in one speed wood over here.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I've enjoyed tough. The last fight with the two English girls,
LaShonda and Helen women. Harper.
LaShonda was the one that won. The Harper looked slow.
She actually looked really. I thought she was going to. I thought she was going to get destroyed. In all honesty, because. She seemed mentally beaten, and like to her own admission,
well, she'd
like
been sick for a week.
Well, it's like when you go on your mission and somebody gets sick on their mission, and I mean, it's almost like, of course, this isn't across the board, but it almost felt like it was self-induced to a certain extent. One of them was
there was a psychological breakdown that made her sick,
mm-hmm.
not breakdown by any means.
Everybody there,
she wasn't shaving her head like Britney Spears and like mm-hmm. breaking windows.
Not yet, no, and she and but so it's kind of just like. I felt like she was beaten to a certain extent because, like, she got an injury and stuff, too. But at the same time, everybody has that. They just don't say it.
Yep.
But
there seems to always be somebody on each season where they're like, he just doesn't train as hard as everyone else. He always says he's injured. The doctor says to take it light, but he should be doing something.
Well, and she said it, too. She said, I was really not in a good place because I didn't know where she didn't like being in limbo. Mm. But once she knew that she had a fight coming up, you kind of did see a switch go. And I actually thought she did really well in the fight. I actually thought she ended up winning, but,
I didn't see the entire fight. I saw glimpses of it. I was on my way to the gym and had it on and then had it on in my, while I was running. And the first round she lost. Second round, I thought that she won with her ground game and I knew it was going to a third. I didn't see enough of the third to say that she did or didn't win. However, from what I saw, I figured that she was going to lose based on the striking because she wasn't as quick and she wasn't as crisp as the other, as LaShonda.
LaShonda.
LaShonda, thank mm-hmm. you. And so it was a good fight. I think I missed the week before that.
Andrew Sanchez?
Yeah.
He's the two top picks for Claudia. I think... I would put my money on winning it. I mean, you never know. Everything, it gets super weird, and, like, people just all of a sudden just come on, like, super late. Like, it's like Dana said, three of the last picks have won it before.
Mm-hmm. Well, Court McGee, when he won it, he lost.
And then back on.
And then he was, he was an alternate.
Mm-hmm.
Him and I think Chris McCray, who's nowhere to be found. But, yeah, he was an alternate and came back and won it.
And so
matchups, too.
Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that... I think Andrew Sanchez, he's a small 205. Like, he weighed in at 199.
Jeez.
And he destroyed the guy.
So you think he's going to end up cutting down and he's only on it to make on the Ultimate Fighter?
Yeah, because he didn't cut at all.
You remember season one? Season one was light heavyweights and middleweights. And Kenny Florian ended up dropping all the way to 135. Lieben stayed at middleweight. Like, Diego Sanchez is at 145 and I think went to 135 for a little bit. Like, that season was... bizarre because all of those guys just wanted to fight in the Ultimate Fighter and none of them. I mean, Kenny Florian looked fat on the Ultimate Fighter because he had to fight so high up a weight. And it was such a weird thing because Ultimate Fighter 1 is there was two different types of disciplines. There was wrestling and there was striking, and that was basically it. And then you had other people that did a little bit of jiu-jitsu, but Josh Koscheck ran through everybody because his wrestling was so good. Forrest Griffin could take more punches than anyone else, so he stayed in. Like, the progression of even the Ultimate Fighter is ridiculous based on back in the day with those Pride fighters or even, the original UFC fighters where it was discipline versus discipline, and it legitimately
was.
Just
crazy guys,
was.
Too. All of those guys are just straight crazy.
Lieben, Griffin.
I like them all.
Bonner. Yeah, man.
Diego Sanchez.
There's also the Hispanic dude that was on there.
Him and wasn't Diego Sanchez on two or was he on one?
He was on one. Diego Sanchez, yeah, no, yeah. And I remember everybody else was like, that guy's weird.
The funny thing is, all those guys were saying that
he they were nuts. The guys that were already nuts
were
saying that Diego Sanchez, but I mean, he was ahead of his time of like the weird karma and chakra and like centering your chi and going out and doing Karate Kid stuff in the backyard.
Ahead of?
Hey, Ido Portal's making a lot of money doing it now.
Making a lot of money, but he's not. It's a fluke.
Touch fluke.
It's a fluke, 100%. The other thing, like comparing that season to this season, it's a good thing that the coaches are throwing some drama in because everybody in the house is too nice.
Yeah.
There's like no, which I don't have a problem with there being, apart from, Abdul, his wife essentially leaving him, which is super sad.
Where all he says is, I messed up, which means I was probably cheating on her before I left the house and she just found out.
No, I think she knew before. I got the feeling she got super
insecure because he was now gone. And he had done something, so she didn't know what he was going to do in the house, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That's more what I feel like happened. But
And that makes sense. But what I was thinking was he left some form of proof at the house, left, and then she found out. So it could be either. Being married, it definitely could be either. The insecurity of this happened, and now you're leaving without really having fixed it, or the I found out and you're gone, so you better come home and explain this, or it's done. And he admitted to it. The weird part was when Claudia walked in and she said, "What'd she say? Who died?"
Yeah, she's like, "Who died?" She was like, she's such a sweetheart though. Like you can see, because like she always gives everybody hugs when she comes. Yeah. And they brought food for everybody in the house, like to do the Brazilian barbecue. And he probably wasn't cool with it, but like even just like you see her come up and just like touch him on the back, like not in any weird way, but just
he's,
like
he's a, I think he's a very Americanized Muslim. Like we're not talking. I remember one time my wife and I went into Shopko and there was a Muslim family there and there were two Muslim men and one looked like an uncle and one looked like a father, right? And my wife got like really close or something or like smiled at them as we were going by and he was like, no way, like please don't look at me, like we can't make eye contact, like. And I think it's a lot different. I mean, he's living in the house with the guys. He almost had to live with the women, and it makes more sense why now he was so like, I cannot stay, even more than just a religious like background. Like, I think it was him not wanting to be in there and have his wife watch the first episode and be like, you lived with four women the entire time you were in that house.
Yeah, I think it was Corey Hendricks, good guy too. He's the one that beat Khalil, that was his teammate, and he's the one that gave up his bed to stay in there. Which Andrew Sanchez, I think, also offered. He's like, I'll sleep on the floor. You can have my bed. I don't care.
Yeah.
They're just all, like, really nice people that you'd like to see do well.
And apparently the entire house is cool with each other.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have team-on-team feuds. You don't have – and I think that's why they try and stay to countries or, like, the gym. I thought the gym idea was a great idea. You know, where you have this gym versus this gym. I thought that was a really cool concept. Obviously it failed or they would continue to do it.
And it's just hard. How many of those do you have where there's multiple gyms in the same city that are on par with each other and they have that much background?
But
I think that was just kind of like a perfect storm.
I can't remember though. Did they actually, they picked them week to week, right? Each gym picked their own fighters to go against each other?
I think so, yeah.
And I'd rather see something like that because if they went into the other gyms and they, like, I would like to see people on more or less equal levels or perceived equal levels fight rather than, like, this is my number one pick, this is your worst pick, and let's fight them backwards until, you know, the fights are kind of mediocre. Not mediocre, but more evenly matched. Mediocre was the wrong word. More evenly matched.
Well, I mean, there's some strategy that goes into it, too, though, because, like, she doesn't, Claudia, the last one that she did for Helen and Lashana, they aren't like, there's not like a huge difference in talent there. I think they were both last picks, if I remember right. They were both fourth picks.
Yeah, and there's what, three from London, or not from London, from England or the UK, and they all mentioned that there's a good possibility of them having to fight each other and not really wanting to have to. It's always interesting too, because being from the same place, it'd be like fighting someone from Utah, where you're like, I know this person. I've seen them fight. We've never fought each other, but I know their fighting style well enough. And I think there's a lot of mental game that goes into that because you know more or less who you couldn't. You don't know more or less who you could or couldn't beat, but you know who's in your level, or you know. It would be much easier to fight someone you know nothing about than fight someone that you have like trained with, like the other two fighters, or someone from your same state that's fought on the same cards as you that you are familiar with. A lot of fighters in the Ultimate Fighter had actually fought each other in previous seasons and either were on the same team or opposite teams, and that brought them together where they would actually be better friends because they'd actually fought each other before and they knew the person's style. So there was the last episode where he gets a little handsy where they're training takedown defense. Did you see it?
I don't remember. What happened?
He's helping Lashana, I think it was, practiced her takedown defense.
Who?
No, the blonde one. There's a cuter blonde female, and there was, I don't know which guy it was. I'd have to watch more to know their names.
Oh.
And he's helping her with her takedown defense, and the camera got really close, and he's like, all right. And he puts his hand basically right on her, like, lower thigh, like, or lower butt cheek.
I think you're talking thigh. Andrew Sanchez. Yeah. I think.
And he was a good dude, and she talks about it, but you can tell that she's got a boyfriend, I think, and I don't think he has a girlfriend, and he might.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, it's just normal. I don't think my boyfriend would be mad at all. And it's like, if you even have to bring that up.
Well, that was Andrew that said that. He was like,
oh, her boyfriend doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think he has anything to worry about. I mean, she's a fighter. She's in these gyms all the time with guys, yeah. And they're doing the same stuff all the time. Like,
but there's
I'm pretty sure he can trust her.
There's a difference between a mutual understanding that you're training together and a physical or emotional attraction. You know what I mean?
Nobody's attracted to Andrew.
I don't remember. Are you going to show me what he looks like?
Yeah, I'll show you what he looks
like. I don't know, man. Women get more emotionally attached than guys do, usually. And he's not... No, it's not that guy.
Do they?
I don't think that's him.
That is him.
Is that him?
That's him.
Okay. Teach their own. You never know. He seemed like a really nice dude. I did see him fight, actually.
That's him.
He did. He did do really well. Now he's just looking at shirtless men.
That's him.
Yeah, that's him, right? The Mr. Clean looking guy right here.
That's him.
Yummy. Yummy.
That's him.
All right. But no, I mean, so, you know, I haven't watched a lot of Ultimate Fighters. I didn't even watch the Ultimate Fighter that Connor was on. Can you remember the last Ultimate Fighter that you were actually, like, engaged with?
Dennis Seaver? Not Dennis Seaver. Steven Seiler, excuse me.
Steven Seiler, because he was from Utah.
And the Ramsey Nijem, like, it's pretty much the Utah one.
Tony Ferguson, who's done well, and he knocked him out in the finale. And Ramsey did pretty well. I'd feel bad for Ramsey because he seems a little lost. He's a nice dude, but he just doesn't seem like he knows what to do or where to go. And he hasn't been, like...
He can come here.
Well, the hard part, yeah, he can. I would love to have him on. The weird part is I would like to see him go to another organization. And I always thought, like... There's just not that many. I mean, you only have Bellator, WSOF, and UFC. And since we've started doing this, you've got Victory, XFC, you've got Titan FC, Bellator. There's so many other fight organizations that you can go and make a buck with. It's weird to me. Like, even Jordan went down to Jungle Fights.
One.
Jungle Fights one?
No, one. One FC.
One FC?
They're probably going to be the next big one, I think.
I like them because I think that they're setting themselves up for success at the beginning in order to move forward and continue to have success, where the UFC kind of started with what they started with and have had to fix things and move things as they go along. ONE FC is like, this is exactly what we're going to do, and here are the reasons why. And getting into ONE FC, I actually wanted to talk about the new weight cut section of stuff. Did you read anything on that?
Yes, I did. I like it.
Did you see what they're doing for 199?
I did not see 199. I only heard 200.
All right, so let's get into 199 first, and then we'll get into the 8% and kind of what numbers those represent. So at 199, they're actually going to allow the fighters to weigh in the morning. It's actually very interesting, the conversation that we had. If you're listening to this, we actually have a weight cut episode where we talk about things that we think that they could do in order to fix this. Carson said they should be able to weigh in earlier rather than having to wait to the weigh-ins at night. And I was like, well, no, because it's a spectacle and you want all these things. And he's like, well, you can still have the spectacle and let them weigh in later. So apparently the UFC listens to our podcast.
Yeah.
Or at least Carson, because I didn't have the same opinion. So they're listening to Carson. So 199, you can actually weigh in as early as, I think, 10 a.m. in the morning. And you can get your weigh-in done in the morning, and then you have more time to rehydrate. And then they'll just do a face-off at the end of the night.
I was just going to say, you could almost even just weigh in before, have that be the official weigh-in, start hydrating, and then just pretty much lie to the fans. And just have them like...
I think that might be what they're doing.
Except for that would get kind of weird if somebody didn't make weight.
Well, they don't show it in the front of the scale.
No, but I'm just saying, like, think about it, though. Like, you weigh in at 10 o'clock and you're, like, 3 pounds over. And then That's also cooler though, that you have more time to cut it and stuff, and there's not like, anyways, and then you that'd be funny though if they had to like report the lie to the fans, but you still had to come out. You're just like, shit, I know,
come out and let us publicly shame you. But you also know more in advance, and not that anyone should fight same day, but you're always going to be able to find some dude that's ready to fight same day. Like, okay, now we have 12 hours to find someone to step in against someone that just lost their purse. Or you can actually have someone make weight, rehydrate, and be able to think about it. Like, I got to quit saying, like, oh, I hear myself say it, and I'm like, stop it. I'm trying to stop saying as well. And I've cut down on my ums, but I've switched my ums for likes. Anyway, what you could do is you could actually use that 12 hours in order to find a different opponent, or you give the fighter, the opposing fighter who made weight, time to rehydrate and actually think out his options of, do you take the 30%? Do you still fight? Is it worth your interest? How do you want to go about it? Because if you try to make decisions while you're super dehydrated and hungry, you might make a split decision. You might make something off of like just anger or whatever it is. However, if you have time to rehydrate and think about it, talk about it with your team and be like, cool, we will take the fight. Or Mayhem Miller's 24 pounds overweight. Just because he dropped his trunks doesn't mean he's going to make it. Let's not go about this. And I don't blame Luke Barnett. I wouldn't have fought him either, 25 pounds over. But I
fought him then.
They got choked out. Shikonov or some other guy.
Because I thought the guy said that he wasn't going to take it. And then I saw that he ended up fighting, but he got choked out.
Yeah.
Like, really embarrassingly, too. Like,
let's get to that. That's on my docket.
Let's do it.
So, let's go. So, that's 199. So, let's get into the 8%. Okay. All right. So, explain a little bit about what the 8% weight cut is.
So, beginning of the week, from what I understand, you have to be within 8% of your target body weight. Which still seems kind of substantial. Like, being Monday and you being, what is it, 289 so you're more than 20 pounds over as a heavyweight, that still seems like a lot of weight to drop for heavyweights.
So, but 289, they only have to get down to what, 245? Yeah, that seems like a
265,
sorry. So they have to, that's 20 something pounds, and obviously a heavyweight's going to be able to drop that easier. I don't see any heavyweights coming in the week of at 289. That seems absurd to me.
Yeah, me too. That's why I'm like, it still seems like a lot of weight to cut. Like, that still seems unheavy, but I mean, maybe they know more than we do. I've never heard of somebody being like, oh, they're coming in super heavy. Like, Brock Lesnar's at 300 pounds.
Yeah. But, I mean, he cut from that amount, but never. But
yeah, I've never heard week of, they're like, we don't know if he's going to make the weight, except for like, I know we bring him up all the time, except for Rumble.
So they talk about this, and I think they're implementing the 199 weigh in at any time you want in order to be able to build into this, because that way they're not as dehydrated for as long of a time. One of the interesting thing was, is I didn't see an issue with this. There hasn't been a lot of talk at the 199. Dominic Cruz actually mentioned that he liked being able to weigh in first thing in the morning. And Dominic Cruz, as you know, has been one of the biggest opponents of the IV ban and a lot of the different weight things that are coming in. So for him to be like, you know what, I actually like this, I would like to get my weight cut out of the way in the morning and then just have it taken care of. He said that usually their weight cuts would actually start about midnight the night before, so they can make weight by 5 o'clock the next day. And so what this does is this allows them to have more time to do it.
Do you think that they might be trying to bring back IVs? Or you think that is done?
I think that's done. I think that solves a lot of issues. One FC, like I mentioned earlier, getting ahead of the game, they've actually banned major weight cuts. They've banned them because one of their fighters died from a bad weight cut. And obviously, ONE FC is not going to have the same nutritionists and the same doctors and different things like that that the UFC fighters are going to have. However, they are a step ahead by saying, you know what, no. And I think that is going to be detrimental to them at first, because some fighters won't go to ONE FC because they want to drop weight. However, those lighter fighters in ONE FC, because they have a lot of Asian fighters at 125, 135, 145, it's probably unhealthy for those little guys to drop weight as is.
My thing is, I know that we talked about this, and Jordan also said that he didn't agree with it. I just don't see why you can't weigh in day of. If the only reason that people cut weight is because there's an advantage, if you take away the advantage, which they wouldn't have energy. But he comes from a different place and he has a different understanding. He says that they would still do it. So if he knows that, I just feel like
it's a different time. It's like Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez now is seen as this wonderful man who did all of these things for immigrant rights and immigrant work, working. So if you're going to hire illegal immigrants or immigrants, sorry, if you're going to hire immigrants, you have to provide them with housing. You have to provide them with certain prerequisites that have been decided thanks to laws that Cesar Chavez put forward. And nowadays everyone's like, that's great. Like, we should have done that a long time ago. And then you talk to the old lady that worked before all the laws were put in, and they were like, we could just sleep wherever we wanted. We didn't have to pay rent out of our housing to pay for, these things. It was better before all of this because now we have to pay all of this money, and before we didn't have to do any of it. And I think it's going to be the same thing with the UFC. There's a lot of people that are going to say, I can't believe they're implementing all of these laws. They're making it harder for the fighters. However, once the generations, 5-6 generations down, there's going to be a lot of people that say, we're really happy that these were implemented because now the fight scene is a lot different. And I am more successful because we are now testing more, so no one can use steroids. We have to be way more careful about it. They've removed IVs so those people can't hide their steroid use and or rehydrate to unhealthy amounts. And I can fight at my natural weight and be healthy, and so I can compete at my best. And I think a lot of people, the difference is there's a Pride generation of fighting, and there's a UFC generation of fighting, and then there's going to be a future generation of fighting. And the Pride generation, the
association generation,
yeah, the associate, most likely where the associate, the fighters Sean. Will, the fighters will come in and say, this is what we want. You know what? We want weight cuts. And in order for us to fight for you, you have to live by our bylaws, which say we can cut at least this much or or you'll have other people that come in and say, I don't want Rumble Johnson fighting at 170. We're not going to allow that either. And the association comes in and they disallow it. And
I just don't. Again, like if you take
a conversation though.
Yeah. If you just take away the benefit of cutting weight, they're going to stop using it. You only do it because you get a competitive advantage. If you don't get a competitive advantage,
are we talking steroids?
No, I was talking weight cuts.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I was going to say, if you take away the competitive advantage and you make them weigh in day of, then they'll find another way to get a competitive advantage that's not, and that maybe it's more unhealthy and we'll have to address a different issue leading up. But, I mean, I still like the idea of having IVs back in the meantime, because I think that hydration and things like that with concussions...
increase.
I think it's more safe, but I mean... I don't know. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. We have to try new things. The sport has to progress. You can't have people dying, and you can't have people looking like Conor McGregor cutting like a shit ton of weight. But
he's not gonna. He might not be able to make weight. One of the biggest proponents against this was Kevin Lee, who doesn't. I mean, he's kind of a bigger fighter for his weight class, just more muscular. But Kevin Lee actually tweeted out the UFC wants us within 8% of weight class fight week, and then did the laughy face with a picture of Kanye West here. You can't see, but I'll show you. Yeah. And then he put 155 plus 8% equals 167.4. That ain't going to happen. Meaning, the next one he actually tweets farther down from there is, instead of being dehydrated for one day, I am going to have to be dehydrated for an entire week. And it's like, okay, like to me, that just means you shouldn't be fighting at 155. And we have a whole different thing because this isn't our livelihood and we've never fought someone our own size rather than cutting down and fight something smaller. Like, so we can't say what these fighters should and shouldn't be doing. At the same time, if you don't think you can do it, go up and wait. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I'm kind of sick, and I know I've been rambling on, so I'll let Carson talk here in a minute. I'm growing very tired of the Pride generation of UFC fan or MMA fan in general. The ones that are like, let everyone use steroids. Pride used to be better because they did this. The Pride generation was the best because of this. There were better fights. There were these things. The gloves were different. All of this. We're out of the Pride generation. The Pride generation is over. Pride failed for a reason. The UFC is continuing to succeed for some reason. I would like to move forward and stop hearing that Fedor could come in and still win the heavyweight title. Yeah, he might be able to, but the fact is, he lost three times to three top five heavyweights, including Silva, who's done. He hasn't fought for a while. Chances are he's not going to come back in and do really well. So why are we continuing to push this pride generation of thinking and trying to say things like Cain Velasquez isn't one of the best heavyweights that ever existed, when your class of heavyweights goes back to like Mark Coleman, who was juiced to the gills and would just ground and pound people? Like, you can't. We, the pride generation is awesome. However, we just need to move forward. We don't, all of those guys that I talk to on Twitter every week that go back to the pride generation and won't let go of it need to move forward. Yes, we understand you were there before everyone else. Yes, we understand that you're a bigger MMA fan than all the rest of us.
Combined. Times two.
And we love that you tell us that every week, but move on. Move on.
Yeah.
Time to move on.
If Coach would just put them in, they would have won the they would have won the championship.
They wouldn't have hurt their knee. They would have gone into the UFC.
And same fought, guys.
They would have fought Mark Schultz and Gilbert Goodridge. So that's that. Weight cutting. Anything definitive you want to say about it?
No. There's nothing. That was. I think we've talked about that before. We talked about it now. I think that's a good place to end on that. Mm-hmm. There was something else I wanted to ask you about, though. Oh, Demetrius getting 8 fights. I'm excited about that, man. I love that guy. He talks to me on Twitch.
Yeah?
He has, yeah.
You remember when he laughed at my joke about John Jones celebration, him snorting a line of coke? Did I tell you that?
No. Maybe you did, but I didn't listen. I apologize.
No, you're good. So I think we have it on one of the old episodes. So when he was on Twitch doing the UFC 2 game, I really wanted to see what it was like. So I was watching it, and they were talking about his celebration and how all the celebrations were unique. And I said, oh, John Jones is unique. Does it show him snort a line of coke when he wins?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't read it out loud, but he laughed. And then I asked him if he was going to be fighting Dominic Cruz, and he said no. He now is fighting Wilson Reese, and no one has any idea why, because Wilson Reese has been on the undercard and coming off of, I think, one win after a loss. So I think it's great, and I think he's going to fight as often as possible because he's going to make a ton of money, and I think he's going to be done. And then I think once he's done, people are going to really appreciate who he was.
And then they'll have to come with me and hang out with him on Twitch.
Yeah, that's all right. If you pay $20, you can actually play games with him.
Really?
It's like if you subscribe to his channel.
His is 20?
It might be more.
More?
I don't know. I think it was $20 when I saw it at UFC 2.
Should be 5.
Well, we can see. However, while you're looking that up, here's what I think is going to happen. He's got 8 fights. So Tough 24 is coming up, now that we're talking about Tough 23. I think he's going to win 1, maybe 2 more fights before the end of the Tough 24 season. I think he moves up to 135, vacates the 125 belt, and Benavidez and Cejudo fight for the 125 belt. And I think that's why they make, how they get people to watch 120 or Tough 24 is by making it for the belt between those two at that division. And what that does is it clears the division to be exciting again. DJ is a very exciting fighter. He's one of my favorites. However, that division right now is not exciting because there's such a level of competition difference between the top and the bottom of that division. Top 10 is only top 10 because they don't have enough fighters to actually put in the top 10.
$5.
Okay, so it is $5. I was way off.
That's fine.
That was about 4 times.
That's fine. I was just really weirded out. I was like, dude, I don't like, because like subscriptions aren't that cool.
However, when I watched him play, I saw his user ID. He accidentally went to his home screen, and I wrote it down.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
For what, his user ID for?
For Xbox Live. Yeah. So I could add him as a friend if I wanted.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you could just see if, when he plays Destiny, I could probably figure it out right now when he goes back and gets a kill.
I guess that's true when it comes up on the who won section. I guess that is true. That's one thing I do like about Xbox Live, that you can't have one user. You can't have a username for your console and then a username in a different game. So you're the same person in each game that you play. Not that it really stops people from trolling, but it is what it is.
No. He's a fun time. If you do like gaming and you don't know about Twitch, which it usually isn't a thing that happens. Usually if you're into gaming, you're all the way in at least have heard of Twitch.
It's what happens when you've fought for so long and you get hit in the head and you just start doing it.
And they put it on TV.
Him and Rampage.
He plays video games, and it's a way that you can actually talk to him online. You can watch him play video games, and he'll sit there and talk to you, reads chat, and makes jokes. He's a good dude.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think here. Venator was actually a pretty good card. I'd like to go over it a little bit, but I feel like I've been talking a lot this episode.
Shut up!
I feel like I've been talking a whole lot.
I feel like you made this thing to talk, so, I mean...
Well, with you, not to you, at you, and then at our audience.
I feel like you haven't done that.
Okay, good.
If you feel like that you did, just go ahead, leave, go hang out with your dog, leave the computer, I need that, and I will talk with these fine people for the rest of it. No, you've been fine. I don't know anything about Venator, though, so you're going to probably have to...
No, I am, and that's why I felt bad. I was like, should we talk about this now? So anyway... like you saw that Mayhem Miller got tapped out. He weighed in 24 pounds overweight. You got to go watch the video. If you haven't seen the Venator weigh in, go watch it, because he gets on the scale and he looks like he's just psyched, like he's going to have no problem. He walks up, he steps on the scale, he gives it this look like, that doesn't make any sense. And I mean, he looks like he's still in decent shape. I mean, when you're muscle memory and different things, but he looks at it like he's just flabbergasted. And I think he even says, like...
Emphasis on flab.
Yeah. So anyway, he ends up dropping his shorts and has just another pair of shorts. Like, he has swim trunks, but then he has, like, the skin-tight spandex, like, George St. Pierre stuff on underneath it. So it's not like he's naked. It's not like he's got, like, small underwear. He's got, like, a whole nother set of fight trunks on underneath. So obviously he knows if you've got fight trunks underneath your fight trunks, you don't think you're going to make weight. But he gives his face like, I don't know what's happening. He turns and he does apologize.
4 pounds? I'm sorry, yeah. Guys.
He does say, I'm sorry, but I don't think he really means it. And then when he's done weighing in, he walks off the stage and the Venator president has to stop him and bring him back on for the freaking face-off. So the guys, who knows? It is what... It was very, very strange, but very, very entertaining, because he just seemed like he was so confused that he didn't make weight when he knew coming in. Like, did they not? Had he been eating too much pizza and pasta in Italy? Did they not have a scale in the room? How in the world do you act surprised?
Was it the metric system and he got confused? Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. That's 2.5 pounds. I'm about half this size.
I know that I'm like 3.5 stones. I don't even know how much
2.5 pounds to a 2.5 pounds to a kilo.
So how much to a stone?
I have no idea.
I remember, like, I don't know exactly what a stone is. British people. It's been a long time since I watched Bronson and listened to interviews of, what's his face? Who played Bronson?
Tom Hardy. Dan Hardy should have, though.
Tom Hardy, that would be awesome. So, and so I looked up stones then, but feel free to edumacate us. Yeah, I like that as a measurement.
He's 63 stone and he's like a 205 pound fighter.
63 stone would be a lot. I think he was like 10.5. Hold on. We're just going to figure it out right now.
Stone instead to pound ratio.
People, we're just going to ask the internet.
All right. So anyway, while you're looking that up, let's get into Venator. Actually, really good card. There was a lot of undercard fights that were worth 14 watching.
14 pounds to a stone.
Oh, geez. 14 pounds to a stone, everybody. What I learned, though, is the level of competition in the UFC, Bellator and WSOF, is at such a level that the XFC fights that I watched, the Victory fights that I watched, and even the Venator fights that I watched, most of them ended in the first round because there was such a difference in competition. And it makes me really, really appreciate the top three promotions. And I mean, they're exciting when you watch the lower promotions and you get first round finishes. Like, it's really exciting. However, I'd much rather see people be able to actually compete against one another instead of one guy going in and just crushing them. So the good thing is Paul Harris lost. Mm-hmm. Paul Harris lost to Meek Mill, as Twitter says, because he went in for a takedown and the guy was huge. The guy was from Norway. A lot of people know who he is. Just started dropping the Travis Brown elbow to the side of his head.
I hope the ref just let it go a little longer.
I don't think he did, but the guy, Ariel Helwani actually made the joke that he should go to the WSOF and get the welterweight or the lightweight belt, because technically he beat their old champion, so he deserves the belt from that. Making a joke, but if I was a WSOF, I would sign. I'd sign him. And why? Diz, no, not Paul Harris, the guy that beat him, because he looked good. I mean, he did just elbow to the side of the head.
He beat there. I got you. I'm dumb. I got you.
The guy that beat Paul Harris should go and take his place in the WSOF champion. Yes. There it is. We got there. We got there, everybody. But no, once again, the fight was interesting. A lot of people have talked trash, and here's my opinion. I know you didn't watch. However, one thing I realized is a lot of people are going to the WSOF and Ray Sefo and saying, hey, you had just as much time. Why are these guys going to beat you or surpass you, or why have they already surpassed you? And Ray Sefo's like, we're not. Like, we have a TV deal. We're doing just fine. I don't know why in the world. And I think they're only getting dragged in because of Paul Harris. But would you rather have the freak fights with Jason Mayhem Miller, or would you rather have, like, the hardworking approach of the WSOF where they don't have freak fights, they bring in fighters that they can, and they just go out and put on actual fights?
There's a market for both. What would I rather? I'd rather WSOF, and I think that they will possibly last longer. Unless, like, I think MMA is really only primed for, like, right now, like, three top promotions with its current, with the UFC taking so much and then Bellator taking the next biggest portion. I think that it only has room for another one big one. And other than that, you're just going to have local promotions that are just feeders. And so I think that ONE FC probably will take over that. And Bellator has its own, it has the next best foothold, and it does the freak fights, but they also have very legitimate fights too. I would like to see the WSOF succeed more than probably the other ones, because I feel like they've tried to do it the right way. They've tried to get high quality talent like the John Fitches. I don't like watching John Fitch, but
they get him.
Yeah.
Josh Berkman got a shot again in the UFC because he did well in the WSOF, who was actually fighting this weekend again against Paul Felder, which we'll get into probably here very soon. I agree with you 100%. It's one of those things where I'd much rather see legitimate fighters fight in front of 50 to 60 people than watch 2 million people watch a freak fight. Jason Mayhem Miller looked slow, and he looked like he was going to lose. He looked like he thought he was just going to run through whoever he fought. I don't think he expected to actually beat Luke Barnett. I think he just expected to go in there and get paid. And he did, but he caused a lot of issues. Luke Barnett was offered 30%. Like, he was offered an ungodly amount of things to still fight him, and he was like, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, here you are watching goals instead of talking MMA. That's what I'm talking all this time.
I wasn't watching goals. I went back. I wanted to cue it up, by the way, but I'm listening to you.
Cue what up?
I want to see Vardy's goal for England. I don't care about Harry Kane's.
Harry Kane.
They call him Hurricane.
Yeah, call him Penis.
I know, I don't like him. I do like him. He's actually a super nice guy, and I hope the best for him. I hope and the best would be for him to leave Tottenham.
Well, Mourinho's over there in Manchester United now, right?
Not confirmed.
Left Chelsea? Oh, I thought it was.
Chelsea. He got booted months ago. And
he's not even allowed in the stadium.
No.
Hey, Mourinho, we see you trying to sneak in over the fence. You get out of here.
No, but he...
I left my jacket inside. It's cold.
No, I wanted to see their goals. I wasn't going to watch them now. I was going to have them queued up. But I am listening. But I'm also super excited because Granit Xhaka's kit reveal, like him taking pictures for Arsenal, just got leaked by his girlfriend. And Arsenal are super pissed about
Snapchat.
It. Instagram, but no, I don't even know she did it on purpose. I think she might have sent it to somebody else, and somebody else was like, "This is going to the press." And yeah, so Arsenal got way mad at him because.
But usually, when it's like that, it's like, "Hey, don't share this, but I'm going to send it to you. Do whatever you want." But I guess they did track it back to his girlfriend, so she is in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, they're just mad. I mean, there's nothing.
She's not allowed in
the
stadium anymore either.
Yeah, she got to hang out with Mourinho. She's got to hang out with Mourinho and. Somewhere else.
You've got to come into the stadium last and leave last.
Also makes me sad. I think I knew it was going to happen, but I was holding out hope. I think Leicester is going to get gutted.
Of course. It's just like That's what happens. Any team that does really well, they take their best players and pay them more money. And every good player is like, oh, you're going to pay me $15 million more to play at B-League Germany? Yeah, I'll come.
Well, that's not what's going to happen.
But well, they'll go to nicer teams, but yeah, they'll go anywhere.
N'Golo Kanté, he has a $20 million buyout clause.
MMA.
Who do you think could be the best MMA fighter in soccer?
Ronaldo wouldn't like to see his own blood, I can tell you that. I don't think Messi would either. Let's go back to who was the hooligan guy that's still in all the TV shows? The guy that's in Snatch.
Oh,
Bullet Tooth Tony.
Oh.
He would have been the best UFC fighter
in soccer.
In soccer,
Snatch. Cast.
Bulletproof Tony, and he actually played for.
Yeah, he did.
Somebody decent.
Yeah, he
an English Premier League team.
Vinny Jones
played. Anyway, so while you're looking that up, we've got a fight this weekend. UFC Fight Night in Vegas. I don't know what number this is. Do you know what number it is?
No. They don't seem to care either.
No, they haven't put it on anywhere. So I'm actually really excited for this card. Really, really excited for this card. Tell us where he played.
He captained the Welsh national football team.
Oh, he's Welsh? No wonder I like him so much.
Do you know Welsh people?
He played for Wimbledon. I am Welsh.
He played for Wimbledon. He also played for Welsh. Chelsea, Leeds, Sheffield, QPR.
Did you know he has the fastest expulsion from a game?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
He came on as a sub and
went out, caused some havoc, and then got booted off immediately.
Yep. 100.
I like him. All right, so let's talk this card. This is, to me, a very good card. You want to cue it up? So, first off, top of it, we've got Almeida versus Garbrandt. We've got Barao Stevens, Safadine Story, Kamozi Miranda, not so excited. Masvidal Larkin, I don't know why that's not above the Kamozi fight. And then Berkman Felder, awesome. And then McMahon versus I, and then the guys that I don't really know. And then we've got Sterling versus Caraway, which is on the prelims of the fight pass. So it gets a little bit more behind it, a little bit more press and stuff behind it. But I've actually been watching fights all morning of Thomas Almeida and Cody Garbrandt. Who do you have, and how do you have it finishing? Your speakers are not broken. That was just Carson.
Yeah, that was Carson not knowing. Garbrandt. But I just feel like decision.
I agree with you.
Cool, man. Look at us.
Yeah.
But, we can both be wrong together.
So let me give you a breakdown. So Thomas Almeida actually fought Brad Pickett. Brad Pickett knocked him down twice. He got back up. He continued to fight, and he did actually end up beating Brad Pickett by KO, which is a big fight. It's actually a bigger fight than any of the fights I think that Cody Garbrandt has had. However, Cody Garbrandt has wrestling, and he has boxing, and he actually has like 36 amateur boxing matches. And Thomas Almeida has striking, and he has jiu-jitsu. I think Cody Garbrandt's jiu-jitsu is good enough to prevent himself from getting choked out if he decides to go for a takedown. And I think his striking is going to be better than Thomas Almeida's. Neither of them have fought anyone super solid, so they're, you know, the 21-0 versus the 8-0 aren't that big of a discrepancy as you think it would be. Most of Thomas Almeida's fights were in Brazil, and so I think it's going to be a great fight. I think neither of them is going to want to go to the ground because, one, Cody Garbrandt has some wrestling and Thomas Almeida's got some jiu-jitsu, so I think that they do stand and strike. Cody Garbrandt has a bad habit of fighting in a boxer stance, but fighting with his, like, a Rock'em Sock'em robot where his hands are too low. And that's what I worry about. So Almeida could come in and actually catch him if he keeps his hands too low because he does just have a boxing stance. He did beat one of the guys from the Ultimate Fighter Mexico striking, and it actually went to decision, but he did outstrike him, and he dropped him once. And the other guy from Mexico is a striker. So I give it to Cody Garbrandt by decision. I don't think he knocks out Almeida, and I don't think Almeida knocks him out. However, there could be some knockdowns, and it's going to be a really exciting fight.
Are you aware that this UFC Fight Pass advertisement looks like Sage Northcutt kicking a topless woman?
It does. It does look like. Or she's in a skin-colored t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's salmon. All right. It does. Go to UFC.com and down to the very bottom to the Fight Pass. It's a very entertaining image. It looks like he's kicking. Oh, it does. That's a weird color of skin on that fighter. All right, Burrell Stevens, what do you got?
Give me Burrell.
I've got Burrell too. How does it finish?
Has to be a knockout. If it's not a knockout, he's not beating. He's not winning decision, I feel like.
I think so there's only a 2-inch difference on this. I think Burrell, I think Stevens is actually
fine. 2 inches?
I think height.
I'm making a sex joke, Paul, about the penis. And I called you Paul. Sorry, Justin.
I thought you went when Paul was going to listen to this.
No, I was that was a slip of the tongue. I miss him.
Where is he?
He's in New Orleans. But no, it's a tough match for both of them, honestly, because this is at 145, right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah. He went up. Stevens.
Man, I don't know on this one.
So here's your biggest difference. Jeremy Stevens is a fast starter and a terrible ender. Hennen Burrell is a very slow starter and a really good finisher. So if Jeremy Stevens comes out and just lays it on, he could finish within the first round to a round and a half. If it gets past that, Hennen Burrell has got it. Based on gas tank.
Jeremy Stevens has great hands, but like Hennen is just so good at just slipping. Like he'll just stand flat footed in front of you. He's much like Jose Aldo. He just slips punches. And that could be cool, or that could be really bad for him, and he just gets hit. Because Jeremy Stevens can knock anybody in that division out. Anybody. Yeah. He could knock out Connor. He could knock out Jose. He could knock out, he couldn't knock out Frankie.
If he gets his hands on you, you're done.
I still say Hennen. I still think Hennen slips enough punches. I don't agree with everybody that says that Hennen's is not the real deal. I think that he is. I just think he came across TJ Dillashaw at the wrong time for him, the right time for TJ, just top to bottom. And I'm not saying he would beat TJ if they fought again by any means, but I think this is him going to start making a resume again. I don't know if he goes back down to 135 ever, if he stays at 145, but I think he starts making a resume for himself again going forward.
Well, and we haven't seen Hennen Burrell post USADA yet, have we?
Yes.
We have?
Yes.
He fought TJ, and he lost to TJ. No, his last loss was to TJ. He hasn't fought since his last loss to TJ.
That was still USADA, wasn't it?
I don't believe so. Was it 2014, 2015?
2015. July 2015. So less than a year ago.
It would have been USADA. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, he lost. He's coming off a loss. Jeremy Stevens hasn't looked necessarily super. He's looked really good, actually, but he doesn't. He gets caught. He starts winging it. Starts to brawl and then usually gets caught. So I'll take Hennen by, I think he submits him in the third because Jeremy Stevens is tired. I think Stevens shoots on him because he doesn't want to strike anymore.
I don't think he ever shoots on him.
No?
No. I don't think he ever shoots on him. Well, he might shoot on him, but I don't think he wants to keep it on the ground. I think he wants to score takedowns.
Yeah.
So maybe. But I mean, his takedown defense. Yeah. Yeah. Hennen Burrell has got amazing takedown defense. 97.37.
Yeah. So he's not going to try and take him down. I immediately regret that decision.
Well, he probably won't get it. I think the only person that really took him down was TJ, right?
Yeah. And I think he only took him down once.
That's it.
And they got right back up. So you've got who?
I still got Burrell. I still think Burrell. I think TKO. I feel like he's going to slip some punches, catch him with some combos, and then finish it on the ground with some punches.
Probably on the defense when Stevens comes in too strong and
punches him. That's how he fights. Yep. He doesn't he stands flat-footed. He pretty much exactly like Jose, and he's just moving side to side a lot and just changing levels, and then throws combos from there.
Yeah. All right. Rick Story, Tarek Saffiedine.
Saffiedine.
Rick Story, even though he did really well for a little bit, then he had a really rough patch, but he just beat Gunnar Nelson.
He had that most...
But it was a split decision.
He had that most unfortunate fight ever. where he took it on short notice, and he fought that no-name guy at the time. I should know his name right now,
we
though.
Should have it right here. So he lost to Kelvin Gastelum.
No, before that.
He lost to Mike Pyle. Quinn, he lost to Damian Maia.
Before that.
Lost to Martin Kattman, Charlie Brennerman.
That's who it was.
So he was on a tear. Yep.
He was on the doorstep.
So he, Brian Foster, Jesse Lennox, Nick...
He looks like the quarterback from Friday Night Lights movie. That's who he looks like.
So I worry about him too, though, because his picture is still pre-Reebok. He hasn't fought since 2014. Tarek Safardin fought his last fight, and Tarek looked decent. But because there's that much time between, I'm going to give it to Tarek as well. I believe it's going to probably go to decision. So Tarek lost to Nate Marquardt. He beat Nate Marquardt in Strikeforce. He beat Young Yu Lim.
Barring something weird, I just feel like, yeah, it's got to be a decision on this one.
He beat Jake Ellenberger, and I think Jake Ellenberger and Rick Story have a very similar fight style. However, if Rick Story can get it to the ground and keep him on the ground, what's Safardin's takedown defense?
35.7.
Yeah. Story's
takedown accuracy.
Sorry.
Ooh, 86.67.
So Rick Story will most likely have a hard time taking him down. Story's got a really good wrestling base. However, I'm going to take Tarek Safardin by decision as well. What are the other ones worth talking about? Who you got? Masvidal Larkin's going to be good. I don't want to pick one on that one because that's going to be rough. Berkman Felder. I want Berkman to win, but it's hard to bet on him. If I had to put money on that fight, I would put it on Felder. Larkin versus Masvidal, I would put my money on Masvidal if I had to bet. And I could be wrong. My numbers could be off. Sterling Caraway, who do you got?
Sterling.
How does he
knocks him out.
You think? I don't think he's got a ton of knockouts under his belt.
He's gonna knock him out.
At that weight, they're at 135, right?
It's explosive, man.
I like him. I think he's a little overrated.
He is, but he's better than Caraway.
Fight history. Takedowns, 41%. Striking, 23%. Submissions, 30%. Most of the fights that I watched, I actually started watching him because I realized I hadn't seen him fight a lot. Most of his fights go to the ground. So he's got, I would say, this is rough because Caraway's a wrestler, and Aljamain is a decent wrestler, but I think Caraway's a better wrestler than Aljamain Sterling. So I think Aljamain Sterling's best chances to stay on their feet, because if Caraway gets him down, he's going to have some problems. And for that, I think it goes to decision.
I just think Sterling's too explosive. And you're right, I think he is overhyped, but he's also super young. So, I mean, all you can do is hype those guys because you don't have anything to go off of. You can only go off the eye test.
But the UFC also needs somebody to hype. So good for him for stepping up and being like, yeah.
And look at him as a 135er. That guy is cut.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah. And I mean, he's good for New York. Brian Caraway's always been wishy-washy.
They want something quick and easy for Sterling that he's not going to be out long for, because
I think Caraway's a solid fighter. So he's beat solid. Johnny Bedford.
He's solid, Eric, but he's good. They want him for Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
they're not
going
to give him something that they're okay with him losing. They just don't want him to take damage.
I gotcha. He beat Rafael Sanção. Or he lost to Rafael Sanção, Caraway. He beat Eddie Wineland, and now he's going to fight. So Caraway's done pretty well. Other than Takeya Mizugaki, he's beat a lot. And Mark Hominick he lost to. He's beat a lot of those people. Caraway's no slouch. And I think Caraway, even though I don't necessarily like him, I think he's one of the most underrated fighters in that division.
So you think he's underrated, you think Sterling's overrated, so you're picking Caraway. You heard it here first.
First. So here's the deal. I want Aljamain Sterling to win. I think Caraway goes in...
I couldn't care less who
irritated
wins.
At Aljamain, and I think he tries to teach him a lesson. I think he tries to make an example out of him. I don't think Aljamain Sterling should be number four right now, and I don't think Brian Caraway is probably pretty good right there at 8. I think they're probably closer to 7 and 8 than they are 4 and 8. And I think Caraway, if he comes in here and fights smart, which he's going to do, he's going to just smother him rather than come in. If he comes in and just smothers him, holds him down for three rounds and grinds it out, I think he's got it. If he tries to make a point and tries to go out and knock him out right off the bat like Jose Aldo did to Conor McGregor, Sterling's going to win.
You don't think he should be ranked four?
Sterling? No.
Who should be ranked above him?
Rafael
Assunção, Michael McDonald, Thomas Almeida.
McDonald should probably be above him.
Caraway, Mizugaki.
Mizugaki hasn't fought in a while.
And then you have John Dodson, but I mean, that's getting out of the top 10 at that point.
His Aljamain Sterling's record is not as impressive as Caraway's is.
He's young.
Exactly. So he shouldn't be number four. If you only have three wins in the UFC, you shouldn't be ranked number four in the division. You shouldn't be. It doesn't make any sense.
KO, submission, submission.
But look at the names.
So?
Viana, who's decent, the Brazilian dude. Well, no, that's why. You have to look at the names. Caraway has better losses and better wins, and yet he's ranked lower. However, Caraway hasn't fought in a while.
Yeah, so who's going to keep ranking him high?
That's a good point. Cody Gibson, not really a well-known name. Hugo Viana, who I liked because I remember him from the UFC, he looks like Brazilian Wolverine. So there's your biggest difference right there. Takeya Mizugaki, who beat Caraway, beat Brian Caraway. So I think that's one of your biggest ones. And then Johnny Eduardo, who Caraway also beat, Aljamain beat.
I think you should probably rank Rafael Assunção above him, but he also hasn't fought in a long time.
Yep.
So
that division just so rough outside of the top two.
Top four.
Top three, because Jermain Sterling's four.
Well, yep. Dominic Cruz, TJ Dillashaw, Henan Barão, Uriah Faber.
Yeah.
If you still count Henan Barão in that.
And I would. Absolutely. I think Henan Barão's still one of the best out there.
Well, if you count him as, like, if he fights in that division anymore, or is he a lightweight? I'm sorry, if he's a...
Bantamweight?
No, featherweight. I keep punching the mic. If he's a featherweight, then obviously he's not in that. But anyways, yeah, that's me punching that.
So, you want to know what I'm proud about? We just got to our hour mark, other than digressing into world football for a little bit longer than I would like to have.
Like 15 seconds? That was longer than you wanted to?
Like 3 minutes. It's all right. I'm just giving you a hard time. We didn't bring up Conor McGregor.
I haven't watched the interview yet. I was going to watch it on the way home.
I watched it. Biggest thing is he says it was a win-win for both him and the UFC. Definitely think it was a lose-lose for him in the UFC.
Nobody won.
Because nobody won.
Except for me, who didn't give a shit
and
about
then
that fight.
He said Mayweather actually started the rumors. It was 100 million to 7 million or whatever the original number. Whatever the original numbers were just astronomical. And one of the things that I agreed with that Conor said, one of the only ones, because the rest of them were sugar-coated or, like, spun, was that Floyd Mayweather needed him. And the only reason I agree with this is because when Floyd fought Manny Pacquiao, who they both needed each other at that time, he made, like, $236 million. When he fought his next fight against whoever he fought, who went to decision anyway and it wasn't a very good fight, he made $23 million. That shows you the difference between someone with a huge name and someone with just a normal name. And yeah, Mayweather could fight anyone he wanted and make $23 to $50 million fighting anybody. But if he fought Conor McGregor right now, neither of them would ever have to fight again.
He doesn't have to anyways.
Well, apparently he's terrible not only with reading, but his money as well.
Yeah, he spends like $3,000 a week on haircuts.
For his kids? Or just for himself?
Him. For him.
I wish I had that haircut money. You want to know when I know I'm going to make...
He's fine, man. He's got like...
Well, he's got his investments too. He's got his Money Mayweather promotions where there should be other fighters coming that he can promote, which I haven't seen any, but there should be.
Well, even if he doesn't, he's fine. He's got enough money. We're talking he would have to blow hundreds of millions. Like, I know that we always hear about the athletes that don't have any money and how sad it is and all of that. And it is. It sucks. It's like they don't get enough education, like, going into the league. It's just like, we're going to give you this much.
They're not told how to be, they're not taught how to be financially,
which I honestly successful. Don't think he's like, I think he actually is good with his money.
You just find someone else that is and have them work with your money.
I think, well, he has good people around him, but I think he's also intelligent that way. And just because he can't read, he gets a bad rap, but he is very smart in his own right. But what I was going to say is, even if he's spending $3,000 a week, he could spend that for the rest of his life and he's going to have enough money. I don't think he could spend his money fast enough at this point.
Could you imagine having that much money?
I can imagine it, yes. I don't care to have that much money.
I can't even imagine it. I can't imagine having so much money I didn't know what to do with it.
Well, just think about, like, instead of, like, when you go to the ATM and you type in to see how much is in your account, instead of having a couple grand, it would just say 500 million.
Yeah.
There it is. You just imagined it.
Yeah, no, that's, I understand what you're saying, but I also couldn't imagine it.
You just did.
I couldn't imagine living life with that much money.
Darn. We're never going to get there.
nor do I have the drive. I don't have that type of drive to, you know, I was never played sports in school. I was never 100% driven to be the best at anything. So I'm not, it's a whole nother narcissistic.
You're the best Justin I know.
I'm the only cool Justin I have ever met. Other than probably the football player, Justin Smith, who seemed like he was a pretty good athlete. I could just pretend I'm him.
Do it.
Talented Mr. Ripley and just take his place.
Yes. Yes.
They're like, I remember you being a lot bigger. I'm like, nope, this is me. I played for the Bengals and the Niners.
I was really good.
I was really good. Maybe I could go get his bank account.
I should try that.
He probably doesn't have $500 million. Anyway.
Still going to probably have more than you or me, though.
No, I can guarantee you that. Hopefully.
Unless he's going to be on the second 30 for 30 where they're all broke. We'll see.
But instead of calling it broke two, like with a Roman numeral or TWO, they should just TOO.
I like that.
I'm broke too.
I like that.
I'm broke too.
Or they could do Baroque, where they're just really into
Baroque. Renaissance art. Yeah. B-A-R.
They spent all their money on just Renaissance art. There's a vast group of athletes that are affected by Baroque art.
I wouldn't have been broke if I never got into Baroque.
I tried to compete with the Met and make my own museum, and it just all fell out.
I was trying to find all that Hitler paint, all those Hitler paintings, and it didn't work. All right, you got anything else to say about?
If it's not Baroque, don't fix it. Yeah, that's a Beauty and the Beast joke. I don't have anything else. We talked about Baroque, which was my goal.
Which
today.
Was your goal? Thank you everyone for tuning in. I'm going to try and finish all of my words. Please subscribe on YouTube as well as follow us on Twitter. Tweet at us, get in conversation with us, tell us why we're wrong or what we said that was incorrect. However, I felt like this episode was pretty solid.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to tell you you're wrong if you come at us.
And you know what?
Let's get into it.
Come at me, bro.
Especially if you have something to say about Pride being the shit.
Oh, man. If you have something, I'm not going to tell you on Twitter because I'm not going to get in some argument with somebody that doesn't know.
And I will. You can find me at capital W. There's an underscore somewhere in there. You'll have to look for me.
Capital W underscore 24.
There it is.
Flying Smitty 2, you can come tell me so I can tell you to grow up and move out of the Pride days. They were great, but they're over. So let's move forward. Yes, you know more about MMA than me. Who cares? Let's move forward. All right. Thanks, everybody else, though, for tuning in. And we'll see you next week. Bye.